right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is 2 for Tuesday. Get your request in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The Music Box Theater is being taken over by the Cinepocalypse Film Fest. We've talked to those guys about it in the past, and there's a lot of really cool events, one of which is fantastic. It's on June 18th. It's all at the Music Box Theater. And it's Joe Bob Briggs, An Evening with Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood. Joe Bob Briggs is a legend. It's been a very long time since he's been on the show, but we've had him on a few times, and always, always great to talk to. He is a drive-in movie critic. He is an author, and he's just a legend, and we want to welcome him back to the show. Joe Bob, welcome back.
Thanks. It's been a while, Nick.
Yeah, it has. It has been a while. It's been too long, I think.
I know it has. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited about coming to Chicago next week. It's going to be interesting because normally I only do this show in cities that love their Confederate monuments, and so this will be interesting to do it in the North.
Yeah. So what's the concept for this one? How Redneck Saved Hollywood. When did you come up with this?
Well, I can't. You know, it's really hard to explain the show. It's a combination of comedy, history, film, insanity. I mean, there's 250 clips and stills in a 2-hour show. That's how fast it goes.
Wow!
But you learn things you would never know that you needed until I put them in the rear lobe of your brain, and so. It's kind of a weird show that I've sort of developed over a number of years, and I've done it all over the country, I've never done it in Chicago, and so this will be interesting. I the guys at the Music Box have been really nice, and you know, asked me to give it a try there, so.
I'm sure it'll go over. I'm sure they'll love it, Joe. I'm sure that they'll love it.
Yeah, well, they love it in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll see if they love it in Chicago.
Well, listen, let's go back in time. And how did Joe Bob Briggs, how did that happen for you? When did that all start?
Oh, man. Well, we're going back to the 80s, if you're going to ask me that question. We don't have time to do all the decades. I was the film critic at the Dallas Times Herald, and I noticed that there were certain movies that were never reviewed by the mainstream media, and they all opened at the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Chicago, it's the same movies that in Chicago probably would have opened at the grindhouses downtown.
In the loop. Yep,
They had grindhouses, yeah.
That's where I grew up. That's where I grew up going to movies, in those theaters, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, so you know.
Yeah.
And these were movies that were considered disposable trash by the mainstream media. So they were never reviewed. They were considered almost on the level of pornography. And so... you know, exploitation films. And so I started going to the drive-in to review them and started a column called Joe Bob Goes to the Drive-In. And this was at a time when the term pop culture had only recently been invented.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people were not into pop culture, especially at a newspaper. And so... you know, the column took off, and then I became, then the movie channel asked me to come and guest host some movies, and they kept asking me to come back every week, and I was there for 11 years, and I don't even think we had a contract for the first 4 years.
Yeah.
And so, and then I just moved the show over. I was off the air for like 4 months, and then just moved the show over to TNT. To a show called Monster Vision. It was really the exact same show as the drive-in theater show on the movie channel.
Yeah.
I was going for the Bob Newhart record. You know how he just like does the same show over and over and over again.
Right.
So, and then 17 years later, these guys at the Shudder streaming service say, hey, let's give it a try over here. You know, and I say, well, what kind of show you want to do? You say, the exact same show you did before, Monster Vision. They're like, you can't do that in TV. You know, you can't repeat something. It's a 20-year-old format. And they're like, no, that's what we want. Exactly the same show. And so we did exactly the same show. And it's been renewed. It's working over there. Yeah. So
I remember doing that. I remember I go back to the Movie Channel days with you and loved it and loved everything since then. I'm so glad that you're back on Shudder, which for people who might not know, this is an AMC streaming platform, correct?
Yeah, it's a horror streaming service that's owned by AMC, and but we kind of go against the streaming gospel. You know, the Netflix gospel is that you know, the future is one person watching one thing at a time on one device at the time that they want to watch it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
However, because of the way we started this show, we started it with a 24-hour marathon last summer, and when the marathon aired, you had to watch it on the live feed, and so it immediately crashed all the servers. not all the servers on not just the servers on Shudder, but all the servers on the Sundance Channel. I don't know how they're related, but
wow.
We also crashed the Sundance Channel, and so so you know, for the first 30 minutes, people were saying, "I'm so pissed off. I'm never giving another dime to AMC or Shudder or anybody."
Yeah.
You know. And then after 30 minutes, I started getting these messages. You know, oh my god, Joe Bob, do you know what happened? What happened? All the servers crashed. You broke the internet. You know, nobody can see the show. And I'm like, is that a good thing? Yeah, it's a great thing. Nobody can see the show. I kind of worked hard on the show. I kind of like want people to see it. No, this is wonderful. Nobody can see it. You know. So at the end of the 24-hour marathon, they had so many angry people. I mean, the people eventually got back on, or they, you know, it was intermittent through the night, but. At the end of the 24-hour marathon, they immediately put it up for downloads because they had so many pissed off people.
Yeah.
So that became the springboard for all the other shows we've done since then. And everyone loves it. If we get banned from Twitter or something else happens online.
Yeah.
You know, it's like every week there's something like it. But anyway, my point is we have an audience that shows up for the live appointment just like your show, you know, where you have people in the middle of the night, they're watching your show. We have people that show up you know, every time we have a show for the live feed. And there's this huge social media presence. There's a community. In other words, there's a community of these horror people who watch the show. And that kind of goes against the streaming gospel, which is, you know, one person, one device, one point in time.
Yeah.
And supposedly that's the future of everything. But I don't really think it is, because
I do these
movie intros all over the country. And people will say, you know, and I'll have a show of hands, how many have already seen the movie? Well, 90% have already seen the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, so why do they come? Because it's a different experience when you watch it with other people.
Yeah.
And there's a desire to do that, you know? And so, I really don't think I really don't think the whole future of movies is watching movies on your phone.
Yeah.
I really don't think
I would be disappointed if that were the only case. It really would. And I love what you do, Joe Bob. I just think it's great. And what are some of the movies over the years that you've hosted that get the best responses?
Well, the movies that get the best responses are either the great classic movies like Hellraiser or the worst movies in history, like The Howling Seven. You know, I can go either way. And so it's the ones in between where you have a hard time selling them, you know.
But I
would say, you know, whenever somebody's starting a cult film series in some city that doesn't really have a cult film audience, you know, I tell them, you got to show Evil Dead 2 the first year. You know, you can't expect people to watch the more obscure, you know, cult titles right away, you know. But there's a handful of, you know, Class of 1984. All these movies are from the 80s, you know. There's a nostalgia for the 80s. There's a love of the 80s. There's a feeling that the 80s were a, you know, an experimental time and a bold time for exploitation filmmaking.
And also,
the 70s were actually better,
the 80s really, the video boom, you know, like the, you know, kids going to the to the local video store, getting the video nasties and all the horror movies. That's where it all started. The VHS tapes in the 80s with these exploitation movies really took off.
Oh, I know. You know, for example, you know, like my director of the Shutter Show, he's 34 years old. He's a millennial. And so he says, I want to start the series with Chud. You know, the movie Chud?
Yeah, sure.
Animalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Absolutely.
And I say, why would we start the series with Chud? It sucks. And he says, no, it has this huge cult following. He says, watch it again, rewatch it. So I go rewatch it, and I come back to him and say, still sucks. And he says, no, it's got this great cult following. It's like developed this following over the years. And because he's been right so many times, I trust him. And I go, okay, we'll start this, you know, start the whole series with Chud. I said, I'm not going to revise my opinion. You know, we're going to really hammer Chud.
Right.
You know, and so, sure enough, we show Chud. Everybody shows up for Chud. I mean, I think there's 30 seconds of Chuds in the movie. There's 30 seconds of actual monsters in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of what I call Shakespeare in the Park actors, you know?
Right.
Who are slumming. They're slumming in the horror world. Yeah. You know, it's John Hurd and Daniel Stern and Norman Mailer's wife is in the movie. I mean, it's just this New York intellectuals, you know, making a horror film.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I I'm kind of like not, you know, a big fan of it. But everybody, and so I say, when people tell me, oh, I love Chud, I say, okay, what do you love about it? And they'll say, remember that box in the video store?
Yeah.
I say, well, not really. Oh, it was just the greatest box ever. I said, well, when you took the box off the shelf at the video store, did you take it home and take the movie out of the box and watch the movie? And they're like, oh, I just remember that box. You know?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, there's this
nostalgia for the actual video store experience.
There is. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what though, Joe Bob. It's not as bad as Chud 2, Bud the Chud, which is
Oh no! One of the worst sequels in history.
Yeah.
The fact that they made a sequel is shameless.
It's incredible. Joe Bob, hang on, okay.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Joe Bob Briggs is with us. Legendary Joe Bob Briggs. He's going to be appearing at the Music Box Theater on June 18th as part of the Cinepocalypse Film Festival, doing an evening with Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood. It's going to be great, and everybody should go. We're going to talk more with Joe Bob. If you want to jump in, we got a couple of texts that have come in, questions for Joe Bob. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll get back to Joe Bob after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requested now. One artist, two songs. Get them in now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Coming up after the 2 o'clock news, We're going to be talking with the group Pixel Grip. They've got a new album called Heavy Handed. It's available on Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp.com. And they're going to join us to hang out. We're going to listen to some of their music. And they're playing a show on June 15th at Cole's Bar, 2338 North Milwaukee Avenue. So that's coming up. We're also going to talk about some really culty horror movies, and that's in honor of our current guest, Joe Bob Briggs, the great Joe Bob Briggs. He is the Last Drive-In host on Shudder, and he's going to be in town June 18th at the Music Box Theater as part of Cinepocalypse Film Festival, and he's going to be presenting An Evening with Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood. And let's get Joe Bob back on the show. Welcome back, Joe Bob.
Thanks, Nick.
Absolutely.
You got to come to the show next week. You got to come to the show. I don't know when you sleep. Do you sleep in the morning?
I do. I sleep in the afternoon. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the show's going to be over before your show starts, so you got to come to the show.
Okay.
At the music bar. You got
to
see this.
I want you
specifically to see this.
I would love to come and see it. You know, the last time that I saw you, Joe Bob, was one of your appearances at the Flashback Horror Convention. Back in the day
when we had
the drive-in outside in the parking lot outside of the hotel. Mike and Mia Kerr's Run Flashback Convention, and
you opened up the drive-in
for us with your drive-in
with the drive-in oath.
I deputized
everybody. That's right,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and that was the last time that I saw you. It was a long time ago, but we still do the convention, and we show some movies outside too each night, and And I've been with that convention since 2002, and we've got this year we've got Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi, Robert Englund. I mean, incredible lineup.
Oh my God,
Lance Hendrickson.
Oh my God,
a Candyman reunion with Virginia Madsen and like a whole bunch of incredible.
Yeah. Those are huge names.
And also that we're doing a really big, I think the biggest reunion of Night of the Creeps ever. Like, everybody from Night of the Creeps is going to be
call.
There.
Yeah. Good call. That's another one of those, you know, there's a heavy fan base for the, you know, that's grown in reputation over the decades since it came out. And people love that movie, so that'll be well attended.
It's going to be great. And, and Tom Atkins, of course, is just legendary in that movie. And it's so much fun. I wanted to mention one of the times that you were at the Flashback convention with us. You did a fantastic a presentation where you did basically commentary while everybody was watching I Spit on Your Grave, and I found that to be really fascinating. And you actually turned my mind around on that movie, because I was very negative on it until I watched you do the commentary.
Well, you know, probably part of the reason you were negative on it is that Siskel and Ebert had done a show on it, you know, back in the 79 or whenever it came out, in which they said it was the best argument for censorship of movies, of any movie they had ever seen.
Yeah.
And it destroyed the career of that director. And I always thought it was a pro-woman movie. It's a pro-woman anti-rape movie. And so when they released the DVD, the director called me up and he said, "Hey, you that guy who wrote a positive review of I Spit on Your Grave?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Would you do the commentary track on the DVD?" And I said, "Sure, but why are you calling me?" And he says, "Because you're the only person that ever wrote a positive review I Spit on Your Grave."
Yeah.
And so I've actually done that live commentary a couple of times on that particular movie, simply because it's so notorious.
Yeah, and it was originally called Day of the Woman, which a lot of people don't even remember. Was it Jerry Gross? It was the distributor of that film.
Yeah, it was an exploitation distributor at the time. But it was Mayerzarki, the director, really thought that he was making a feminist movie. It was when it came out, it was portrayed as the worst, you know, anti-woman movie ever made. So it has that, you know, it still has that reputation to this day.
I vividly remember Siskel and Ebert's show. You know, obviously as a film geek who grew up in Chicago, I'm very familiar with Siskel and Ebert, obviously. And that was I saw it at this theater in Chicago called the Luna Theater. And because of that, I will say this, though, Joe Bob, because of that review, because of those notorious reviews where they ripped that movie to shreds, it played at the Luna for months. Like, there were
I'm sure.
Yeah, there were lines around the block because of that. So the entire thing backfired on Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably true, but it killed the careers of the people that were involved with the movie.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, it was like, oh, we're not going to touch that. You know, that was one of those resume killers.
Yeah. Well, it was fascinating to hear your commentary. That was a highlight of that flashback weekend, I got to tell you, Joe Bob.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Hey, I got a text here from Chris in Elk Grove who says, can you ask Joe Bob if he still keeps in touch with Honey, the first male girl?
Well, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. And Honey, the male girl, became a lawyer. In Indiana, and continues to practice law to this day in the state of Indiana. Yes.
Okay. And Chris also says that he wanted to let you know that the new male girl, Darcy, is awesome.
She is awesome. She's the first male girl that actually is a, you know, horror aficionado. She's a horror blogger herself. Has watched far more movies than I have watched.
Yeah,
people think I'm such an expert. I can't be the total expert because there are guys who never leave their apartment who watch 8 movies a day. You know, mm-hmm. And so they come to events where I'm going to talk and they say, you know, did you see this 1947? And then I immediately say no. Before you describe it, no, I haven't seen it. I know you've seen it. You know.
We have Steph, Carla, Jackie, all listening. They love you, Joe Bob, and they want to know what your favorite recent horror film is.
Favorite recent horror film?
Yeah.
You know, it's a great time for horror, and I would have to say, it depends on what you mean by recent. Do you mean past 10 years? Do you mean past 2 years?
Yeah.
You know, I would say Get Out, and the reason I would say Get Out is that Jordan Peele invented a new, I won't say a new genre, but a new subgenre of horror that didn't exist before, which is, you know, politically, it's like some of the special effects in that thing are no better than blood-sucking freaks, you know, when they get into the brain surgery stuff. But you don't mind it because he's established this world that you've never seen on screen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sort of bringing, Roger Corman made movies for years that had a deep political subtext. Jordan Peele brought the subtext like right up almost to the surface of the film. And so that kind of sort of socially conscious, politically charged horror is like a new thing.
Yeah.
That's a new thing in horror. And anybody who does something new in horror, I would rather watch one of those than 50 homages to the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think Us is a terrific movie too. I think both of his films are really good. Both of his horror movies. And over the recent years, the ones that stand out for me, Hereditary scared the hell out of me. And I thought Toni Collette was amazing in that movie. And that's one of my favorite horror movies of the past bunch of years.
Yeah, very powerful. Did you see Terrifier?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Well, you're not a fan. I can tell by the tone of your voice. You're not a fan. Art the Clown didn't do it for you.
No. I did like, here's another one that I absolutely love is The Babadook.
The Babadook, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that movie. Yeah.
We showed one on the show called Deathgasm. Have you seen Deathgasm?
Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Probably one of the finest horror films ever to come out of New Zealand.
Yeah.
But The thing is, the young filmmakers who do horror today sort of, what can I say? Oddly enough, their films are slick.
Yeah.
Their films are slick. They're not down and dirty and gritty like the young filmmakers of the 80s.
Yeah.
Part of the reason, I think, is that filmmaking has become so inexpensive that you can do all the bells and whistles that used to be beyond the financial means of a guy who is making a low-budget horror film,
yeah,
making his first film.
Yeah.
Today, you can buy some software and do those things. And so...
Yeah.
And so... So what we don't have is that grindhouse feel,
right,
to these more recent movies.
Yeah.
People
are shooting movies on iPhones now. I mean, Steven Soderbergh made two movies with an iPhone.
Yeah. Not really a fan of that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I understand.
No, it's like rent a camera, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So, listen, Joe Bob, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're going to take another break here. Joe Bob Briggs, the great Joe Bob Briggs, is with us. Last Drive-In is on Shudder. You can go to his website, joebobbriggs.net, and he is going to be in town, and I highly recommend that you check him out. He's just so incredibly entertaining and funny and smart, and it's going to be a great show. An Evening with Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood, at the Music Box Theater on June 18th as part of the Cinepocalypse Film Festival. More with Joe Bob Briggs right after this on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and it's 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in. We'll play them in a little bit. It's one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk with the band Pixel Grip after the 2 o'clock news. They've got a new album called Heavy Handed. We'll talk about that, plus their upcoming show at Cole's Bar, which is at 2338 North Milwaukee in Chicago, on Saturday night. So we'll talk about that. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, I am happy to get back to the conversation with a legend, Joe Bob Briggs, who is going to be appearing at the Music Box Theater on June 18th, presenting An Evening with Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood. And that's part of the Cinepocalypse Film Festival, and you can check out joebobbriggs.net as well. Joe Bob, welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah. I want to get serious for just a moment here. I did not know that you were nominated for a Pulitzer Prize by the United Press International for your eyewitness coverage of 9/11. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was living downtown in Manhattan and saw the first plane. I was getting ready for work and saw the first plane out my window. I was working for UPI at the time, but I was doing humorous stuff. I wasn't doing serious.
Right. Sure.
I wasn't doing serious journalism. Saw the first plane hit the tower. Turned on CNN. Thought it was an accident. Turned on CNN, and they were reporting it as. Even after the second plane, they were reporting it as strange accidents that were starting at LaGuardia Airport. You know, strange things that were happening to the air traffic control. I don't think they have saved any of that reporting that they did in the first few minutes of it. So, but because there had been a terrorist attempt in the basement of the World Trade Center about
93. Yeah.
I don't know, about 6 years before. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven
yeah.
years. I immediately, sized it up and, got out of the building. And by the time I got out of my building, I was only about four blocks from the second when the second tower went down. And so I called my, boss at UPI, and I said, "Well, I just saw the whole thing. Do you actually?" It took me an hour to get through to my boss because the cell phones weren't working.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, I just saw the whole thing. Do you want?" And I got pictures. I said, "Do you want you want me to write it up? And he says, you know, how fast can you do that? Because UPI is all about, you know, getting it out in the next 5 minutes, you know?
Yep.
And I said, well, I'm, you know, I'm, all I have is my, you know, I don't really have anything to write with. I said, put a rewrite guy on the phone. And so I did the first article the old fashioned way where you dictate it from your head to the guy who's typing it. And so he said, okay, keep covering this story. So I kept going down to ground zero for about 3 weeks after that and doing various articles on it. I didn't have any credentials to go to ground zero. So I would have to sneak in every day.
Oh, man.
I would go into Chinatown or wherever I thought there was a hole in the security fence.
And
there always was one.
Wow.
And I would write about, you know, just sort of the I just did articles every day on the thing, and they nominated them for the
That's amazing. You know, I got to say, well, so were you able to get back to your apartment? I mean, because if you live that close,
they shut it down for they shut down the whole building for I want to say about a month. You know, before they let people go in and get their pets and things like that, but you had to find some other place to stay for a good while after that.
That's amazing.
Plus, I think all the power was out anyway.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be in Lower Manhattan when that happened. I can't even imagine. I mean,
yeah, I've never even gone to the museum or the any of the memorials that they have there. I don't know. I just never wanted to relive it, but people come into town and that's what they want to see. That's like probably one of the top two or three tourist attractions now in New York City. And so, you know, I take them down there, show them where it is. I'll be at the bar.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I had no idea that you did that. And, you know, that's really incredible. Really incredible. Yet another facet to Joe Bob Briggs that we were finding out about this morning. So let me ask you this. When you put the last drive-in together, how long does it take you to put that show? How long does it take you to assemble to put the show together and all that?
Oh, man, it takes forever. You know why? Because people are so smart now. When I was doing the show at TNT in the 90s, pre-internet or in the early days of the internet, there was no information on the movies. And so whatever information I would research was basically the only information on the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Now one of these exploitation movies comes out, you know, there's 1,000 reviews of it the next morning, all over the internet. And then there's all kinds of, you know, articles on how it was made and everything. And so the chances of me saying something stupid about the movie are magnified by 1,000 now because somebody is going to say, no, you are absolutely wrong about that.
Yeah.
And they love to do that. They love to trip me up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They love to point out how stupid I am. And so the research, for just talking about these movies in hopefully an entertaining way, but an informative way and a truthful way has become 1,000 times more complicated. That's the main thing that's changed about, about doing the show.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to, one more time, I want to mention this is going to be such a great night at the Music Box Theater, part of Cinepocalypse Film Festival on June 18th, an evening with Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood. You will tell us about the identity of the first redneck in history, the precise date the first redneck arrived in America. Of course, the most sacred redneck cinematic moments. You said there are over 215 clips and stills, and you're going to tell us the existential difference between Forrest Gump and Sling Blade.
That's exactly right. Yes, you're going to learn all that. And you are going to learn it, Nick, because you're going to be there. I'm putting your tickets at the will call. You are going to be there that night.
Oh. it's going to be great. And the Cinepocalypse guys really have a good time each year now putting this fest together. They've got a whole bunch of really great guests coming in, and they're screening some classic movies and some new movies and all kinds of cool stuff. It's a fun fest. I talked with the artistic director last week about it, and the whole fest seems like it's going to be a good time. And I think obviously your presentation is going to be a highlight, no question about it.
And for years now, people in Chicago have said, "You guys need a show at the Music Box. You got to do a show at the Music Box." You know, in terms of cult movie temples.
Yeah.
The Music Box apparently in Chicagoland is number one. Or at least with my audience.
No, trust me. Have you never done a show at the Music Box then?
I've never done a show at Music Box.
You're gonna love it.
It's a little scary because they say there's 800 seats there, that's scary. But anyway,
it's a beautiful theater. It's got the stars and the clouds on the ceiling. They play organ music before the movie. They pull the curtain up, the big red curtain. It's old school, and it's one of the most beautiful venues in the city. It really is. You're gonna love it.
I am gonna love it. I'm sure. Yeah.
All right, Joe Bob.
Great.
Thanks so much, man. It's been too long since we talked. We got to do it a little bit more often. Okay.
I agree with that, Nick. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. We'll see you on the 18th.
Okay, great.
There you go. Joe Bob Briggs, everybody. The guy's a legend. And he's written so many great books. Go back and look some of his books. One of them is called Profoundly Disturbing, Shocking Movies That Changed History, which is actually one of my favorite movie books of all time. He's a great guy. His real name is John Bloom, and he's an amazing guy and so entertaining. And it's going to be great. June 18th at the Music Box Theater, An Evening with Joe Bob Briggs, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood. And it's gotten rave reviews, and he does a great job. And his show is The Last Drive-In, and you can see it on Shudder, the streaming service Shudder. So there you go. Great to talk to him. Great day. I mean, it was too long, man. I think it was like 2006 was the last time I had him on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, he's the best. And yeah, I know you were excited because you're a big fan.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was my bastion for really weird movies, was watching MonsterVision on TNT.
Like, yeah.
My folks weren't necessarily letting me rent that from the movie store. I always wanted to.
Yeah.
I always wanted to, but that way I could sneak into the basement. You know, they'd be asleep, and I could watch, MonsterVision.
You could watch Joe Bob. All right. All right, we're going to take a break, and the news is coming up right after this.